before I get into Obamacare, the wars, menacing Russia, where he thinks things are going, I want to ask Lou Rockwell of LouRockwell.com, as a really smart guy who has, and I'm not kissing his hide, and it's true, great gravitas in understanding socioeconomic and political movements. We see a massive awakening, but we see a bum rush by tyranny to engage in extreme exercises of abuse to set the precedent, break our will. A known criminal precept throughout history. So, A, what does he say about this almost orgy of corruption going on? And then how do we counter it, and where does he see it going? And how do we avert these different kleptocratic communist Chinese, the Russians, the insane people that run the West, which I would say are the most evil of the three predatory power groups? What do we as individuals worldwide in solidarity with free individuals? I love Russians. I love Chinese. I love everybody. I know you do as well. How do we get this love train going to try to counter our psycho governments before they start World War III, Lou Rockwell?
Well, you know, one of the things that, Alex, that's been so encouraging has been the reaction of people in this country and all around the world about Edward Snowden, one of the great men of American history, of course, what his leaks have taught us about what the government would like to do to us, is doing to us, and is doing to everybody on Earth. As Glenn Greenwald pointed out in testimony to the EU Parliament, you know, it's the goal of the NSA to abolish individual privacy for every person on Earth. Not only are they totalitarian, they're insane, as, of course, if we think of what, you know, Acton said about power, there's maybe a third step. You become insane because men and women are not supposed to be exercising this sort of control over other people. So the people who do it, who lust after power, there's a diabolical aspect to them, but they also go crazy. So these are the people we're up against. I think they can be beaten, and I think the key is exactly what you mentioned about a solidarity among the peoples of the world against our governments. So we have a totalitarian government in the U.S. This is no longer a free country. We still have pockets of freedom, but Junty Flynn, the great old right journalist, defined totalitarianism as when a government felt it could do whatever it wanted. It wasn't necessarily doing everything it wanted to do, but there was no restraints on it. So certainly that's the view of the U.S. government, whether we look at Obamacare and, by the way, bad government interventions, all government interventions into medical care, didn't start with Obama, didn't start with the Democrats. It started with Eisenhower. Truman actually tried it first. Nixon was terrible. Reagan was terrible. Kennedy was terrible. Johnson was terrible. Can be sure of one thing. If any guy gets to be president of the U.S., he's a bad guy. That's just part of his resume. So these people have totalitarian ambitions for money and power. They want money. They want sex. They want all the other things that come with being a top politician. But the key thing they want is power, because if you have power, then you can bring about all these other things. So we have this carbuncle in D.C. and all its corporate allies arrayed against the American people. Similar things in other countries. But I think Americans are waking up. And I must say, when Ed Snowden first did his heroic act, I thought, boy, you know, it's wonderful for us to know this. It's good for us to know what's happening to us. But I think Americans are such sheeple, they're not going to care. Well, I turned out to be wrong, thank goodness. It's only a minority, of course, but everything for good or ill is done by minorities. So there is a minority for liberty, especially among young people. And I credit Ron Paul with being the key guy in this, but of course there are many great people preceding Ron Paul building up the edifice of the ideas of liberty. Young people aren't buying this stuff. They aren't buying the wars. They aren't buying the police state. They fear the police. They worry about the police. Outside of people who work for government, if you see a policeman, do you think, oh, thank goodness, I'm going to be safe? You know, nobody has that reaction. We know they're arrayed against us. So many of them, of course, Iraq and Afghani veterans with PTSD, and they see us as a bunch of potential terrorists. But young people are not putting up with it. There's been a real sea change. Polls show it. I know in the young people you interact with, the young people that I talk to, all the people I talk to who are dealing with the young people, they find a huge difference, just a huge difference. I think that's our salvation. I think the next generation and the generation after that are not putting up with this. They're not going to put up with what those of us in the sort of baby boom generations and so forth have put up with. I'm very encouraged about the future, as bad as things are right now. And of course, the government, they want every dime we've got. They want to know every thought in your head. They want to know everywhere you go. Somebody recently referred to it, turned out that Orwell's 1984 was an instruction manual.
Exactly.
Rather than a novel. But it's actually, this is even a worse situation than 1984. And the boobs are still saying, hey, we're number one, we're the freest, we're the most prosperous, we're the best. You know, it's not, of course, it's not true, but the view that the U.S. is the best, and it's the U.S. government they always are talking about when they say the U.S. They're not talking about companies and wonderful families.
Oh, they never say the individual is amazing in the American experience and was the best worldwide. No one doubted that globally. Now we're the best tyranny and the most unhealthy and the most dumbed down because we have the biggest state the world has ever seen with a bunch of delusional control freaks who literally think they're about to carve this country up.
And the biggest empire the world has ever seen. It's not only the biggest state here at home, it's the global state, which of course has even ambitions to control the solar system. So there's nothing that's beyond them. And it's always important to remember when we're dealing with the state, nothing is beyond them. Any evil, any horrible thing that they might contemplate doing, if they don't do some great evil, it's only because they haven't thought of it, or they felt it was not in their interest, or they felt they couldn't carry it out. But it's never their reaction, uh-oh, we can't do that, it's wrong. That's never their reaction. So this is a very bad bunch of people. They're thieves, they're murderers, they're guilty of all kinds of crimes, and maybe the great libertarian insight is just because you're in a government suit, just because you work for the government, just because you have a bunch of little medals on your chest or a badge on your pocket or whatever, doesn't mean that you're above the moral law. We are all subject to the same moral law. So the things, Alex, that are illegal for you and me, and rightly illegal, murder, theft, kidnapping, and so forth, don't become public policy when creeps from the government do them. They're criminals. They're criminals.
Well, Lou Rockwell, I think what's really backfiring on is that they're trying to treat us all like we're criminals and give us not just all this race-baiting guilt, but also guilt like we could all be terrorists. And everyone really instinctively knows, hey, I'm not a perp. Statistically, government's more of a perp. Quit treating me like I'm scum.
That's right. That's right. We're, you know, I hope that the American people have had it and they're not going to put up with it anymore.
You know, a big part of this is that we've been so nice to government and bent over to it for so long that it literally thinks we're owned by it. But corporations, if you price check at Walmart, they threaten to arrest you and threaten to put you on a ban list. And our own crew member went over there to buy a Box fan a few months ago. We have video of this. And they said, let me check your receipt. And he goes, here it is. The guy said, let me see it. And he said, no, I'm leaving. And the guy said, I've called the police. They're waiting outside. And you'll be banned from any corporate store ever again. That's on video. And it just shows this arrogant, hateful attitude, this predatory attitude. And we see federal checkpoints taking DNA under intimidation. We see coal power plants that are brand new and clean, like Wolverine, getting shut down. And we see government with fake court cases using NSA data in court cases and creating fake briefs for the juries of where they got evidence. Just organized crime. And Lou Rockwell, what is the excuse on average in government? Then I want to get into the economy in this brief segment with you. What is the excuse? Because so many people in government now actually believe doing corrupt things are good because they're good, when that's not really the case, or they actually consciously are just criminals. And what do we do when they had hearings 2 weeks ago in Congress with Jonathan Turley, the liberal, and conservatives from other groups saying we may have to revolt physically? I don't want that. They were saying, though, under the Declaration of Independence, it could come down to that. I mean, this is an amazing time to be alive when in the face of the public waking up, government doubles down.
Well, I think, Alex, we do have to revolt. I don't think that we can use violence, killing people, putting people in cages, torturing people, tasering people. You know, that's the way of government. That's not our way. Our way is the peaceful way. Our way is the way of withdrawing consent and of laughing at them. They hate, by the way, being laughed at. The government has no sense of humor. People who work for the government have no sense of humor. But it's a very effective tactic. If we get enough people refusing to play the game, then government can't actually work against us. But if anybody were to threaten them with violence, they're happy to kill you and maybe your family and maybe your whole neighborhood too. So, you know, that's maybe things do come down to that at some time in the future. I hope not, but I think there's a lot we can do in the meantime without taking part in government activities. And we always have to remember that these are, you know, these are a bunch of criminals. And my guess is at least most of them don't think of themselves as criminals. They think of themselves as people who are protecting the common good. They think they really know more about taking care of your children than you do. And really, the government owns your children. They believe that. And the government owns your business. The government owns you. Government owns your house. They own your church. They own every aspect of your life, and you better obey. But I think more and more people are going crazy about the kind of tyranny that they're facing. They're learning more. They're reading more. It's always essential to learn some real economics, some real history, some real political philosophy of the kind they do not teach in the government schools, so that you can be intellectually armed. And this is what young people are doing. It's important to read books. Government doesn't want you reading serious books, but it's important to do so. And I think there's a tremendous movement towards freedom sort of going under the surface, and the people in government sort of feel things shaky under their feet. It's why they're constantly scared of us. You notice they're all scared, whether it's the TSA in the airport or bureaucrats in a government office or the military or the CIA or the EPA or the tax police or, you know, the FDA going down the alphabet from hell. They all fear the people. And it's not because they fear a bunch of people coming in with guns. That's, you know, they feel very confident that's not going to happen. But they fear our disobedience. They fear our non-respect. They fear our refusal to kowtow to them.
Well, that's why the mafia always wants you to, quote, respect them. That means fear them and do what they say. And that's what government and TV, everything is about. You're being watched. We can get you. You're powerless. Do what we say because we are the food.
No, that's right. I hate to smear the mafia by comparing them to the government, but you're right. It's exactly the same process. And they really enjoy us, you know, salaming them, and they enjoy killing people. These are not good types. The people who rise to power in government, F.A. Hayek said that unlike in private life, the worst rise to the top in government, the worst people come to power, and they are, you know, they're the most rotten. So it's not the average postman or firemen or whatever we have to worry about, but the top guys in government, monsters.
I want to ask Lou Rockwell about this. 20 years ago, you couldn't find organic food anywhere except in a few little shops, and it was very expensive because the market hadn't been built up, and it was cost prohibitive. Now, because people slowly supported it, it's coming down to parity with the garbage food. That's a prime example of a libertarian von Mises-type revolution. As an economist, as a researcher, break down how we could take things back by supporting each other and local communities and farmers markets and the Von Mises Institute and promoting the new media, making it the dominant media, which we're very, very close to doing versus this globalist revolution. And then I want to tie that into Mark Faber says the Fed will never end QE. He said that on CNBC last night and some other economic news I want to get into you. But let's talk about that, Lou Rockwell, because you are an expert on it. How do we use our choices, voting with our dollars, to take society back and then an overall economic outlook?
Well, Alex, you're exactly right that, you know, what you eat is essential. You want to stay out of these government hospitals where all the sickness is. You probably want to stay away from a lot of these doctors who are just agents of the government and want to put you on a bunch of big pharma drugs. Mises, in his book Socialism, written so many years ago, said the worst effects of socialized medicine is that it circumscribes and takes away the will to health. One of the lies of the government is they claim they're providing health care. It's not health care. Health care is within your own control. What they're providing is allegedly sickness medicine. And, of course, it's getting worse and worse. It's getting more and more dangerous. The drugs are more and more dangerous. They cause more and more sickness. So if you can do anything possible to stay out of a hospital, to stay out of a regular doctor's office, you live longer, you feel better, everything is much better. And the cornerstone to that is what you eat. It seems to me that's the first thing you can do. I like the primal diet, but whatever works for people, you know, that's what they should do. But you have to take responsibility for yourself and what you eat, in what you store, how you live your life, exercise, all those kinds of things. You can't look to that, to Obama or the rest, or, you know, Dr. Emanuel, one of the monsters of socialized medicine in the whole world, who was put in charge of this whole evil program. But I should also say, really, when I call it socialist medicine, it's actually not socialist medicine, it's fascist medicine, because it's the big companies in the healthcare industry, in the pharmaceutical industry, in the insurance industry, in cahoots with the government against the rest of us. So it's a classic fascist operation, Obamacare. But look at the opposition to it. Not only because they're incompetent, but more and more the people study it, they see what's happening. There's a revolution going on in opposition to this thing. I think they're going to have a lot of trouble, not just technically, because, of course, they're all, the government is, you know, composed of a lot of boobs sometimes. They sometimes have, unfortunately, smart people producing killer robots and atomic bombs and all their other things. But they certainly don't produce anything anybody needs or is good for society or is good for the flourishing of human beings. They're the great center of opposition to the flourishing of human beings, except, of course, for themselves, for the 1%, maybe the tenth of 1%.
Let's talk about the economy. What is the position of the world economy based on the numbers you've got and all the economists you work with as the head of your prestigious organization, some of the top economists in the world, now basically adopting this school of thought? What is the real state of the economy?
Well, I think we all fear what, as you say, what Mark Faber said last night, that they'll never give up on QE, but they don't actually want hyperinflation. Hyperinflation is not good for the people at the top. It's not good for the government. They couldn't care less that it's bad for regular people, but it's bad for them. It's very destabilizing. So I don't think they actually want it. On the other hand, they're so arrogant that they're capable of doing things because they think they know better. They think there's no such thing as economic law. They can just do whatever they want and have whatever impact they want it to have. And, you know, nothing bad happens. So it is possible to have hyperinflation. We're already seeing, as anybody who goes shopping knows, it's not just, you know, 2% or 3% inflation when you look at what food is going up by. It's much, much higher than that. That's true. There's already a lot of inflation. The real definition of inflation in terms of the increase in the money supply, this is leading to higher prices already. At what point that explodes, you know, I wish I knew, I'd be rich, but it is coming.
Exactly. I don't want you to continue, but just to back you up, here's a CNS News. Even though they're adding more offal into the ground beef, the pink slime, in the last decade to cover up inflation, price of ground beef hits all-time high, and it's only going up, and every staple's going up. And people I know in my family that have been middle class, lower middle class, upper middle class, they're on the verge of being destitute across Texas. I've got family that's having trouble making ends meet for the first time ever. And almost everyone else I know is having big problems, and people are having to move in with their parents and vice versa. I mean, I think we're really under a depression, and you travel the country, this nation is rotting unless you're in D.C., where they report they're making record profits and having their salaries increase, Lou Rockwell.
And their houses are the most beautiful, and I don't advocate visiting Washington because it's a very bad place. But if you ever happen to find yourself there, look at how they live. This is just like the Capitol in Catching Fire or in Hunger Games, and the rest of us out here in the districts indeed are hurting. And I think all of us know, we all feel it, even if we, you know, don't know economics or studying the economy. We all feel there's something drastically wrong economically. We fear for our children's future. We fear for our grandchildren's future. There is real trouble. On the other hand, these things can be fixed, but they require massive reform of the people in Washington and all their agencies and all the big corporations associated with them. I think, again, this is coming. My fear is we've got some years of very tough times ahead. It's why, you know, you're right to get people to want to store some food in their houses and that sort of thing, because we don't entirely know what's going to happen. We can know already bad things are happening. Things are going to get worse. But I don't think this is anything permanent.
Sure.
I think these people are going to be pushed back. I think we're going to do it. But you got to be ready for bad stuff in the meantime.
Lou Rockwell, again, chairman of the Von Mises Institute, I always get you up here and I ask the questions, but I want to spend a few minutes on what you want to say. I mean, what did you wake up this morning thinking about politically, economically? And then I want to get into, I'm not romanticizing Russia by any means, but they're trying to move in the direction of free market from what I've seen, though they're stumbling versus centralization here. The West is rolling missiles up to their border, so they roll missiles up to their border, and oh, how dare you? I mean, I look at how the government rolled out Obamacare, and they are incompetent at many levels. Are they going to cause a nuclear war? My gut tells me I see signs of war everywhere. So I want to get to that. But first, what else is on your mind? What else do you want to tell our vast audience of patriots?
Well, Alex, I'll just, you know, talk about Russia for a minute and Putin. I was never a fan of Putin, but it seems to me he's doing a much better job of things than, say, Obama is doing. He did prevent, along with the American people, a worse attack on Syria. Obama's and his cohorts have been attacking Syria for some time, but they didn't bomb it. So far, they haven't bombed Iran, and I think that's China and Russia preventing that from happening. Iran, a country that's never done anything to anybody, but yet we're supposed to destroy them. So that's not happening. But Russia has moved dramatically towards freedom from the days of Soviet communism.
No, but you're right.
A huge, huge influence in the whole world. And so the U.S. wants to shut them down. Reagan had promised Gorbachev that if the Russians withdrew, the U.S. would not move NATO up to the Russian borders. Of course, the U.S. didn't keep its word. That's exactly all these aggressive moves. But they still fear Russia. They still fear China. And I hope to goodness, you know, the neocons all want perpetual war. A war with Russia and China, of course, could mean the end of the world. But these guys are crazy. The neocons are insane in addition to being evil. So I don't know, but I'm following what's happening in Russia. The tax rates are lower than ours. And just, you know, it's religion has sprung back. Really never was crushed by Stalin and by and Lenin and the rest of the communists. They maybe crushed the outer view. And Putin points out that his mother had him baptized as a baby in secret, which I'm sure a lot of Russian mothers did exactly the same thing. So religion is back. And I don't know, the whole, it's just very, very interesting to watch. And certainly they have a right to live their own lives internationally. The U.S. government has no right to tell the Russians what they should be doing. Of course, they don't have the right to tell us what we're doing either. They have no right to tell the Chinese what to be doing, or the Indians, or anybody else. The Brazilians, the Argentinians, the Chileans. Just like there's more and more resistance here, and just like even a tyrannical government depends on the consent of the governed because they're such a small minority as compared to the people, so does an empire require the consent of the provinces in the world. They're losing that consent. They've lost that consent. So I think there's, you know, great interesting times ahead, but we just have to pray that you know, those interesting times don't include a world war.
Ron Paul has said over and over again, it's been proven prescient, the key is when the socialist fascist system on top of it collapses, that they're going to try to totally take over with a system even worse on top of that. We've got to point out they did this, and clearly they did it.
That's right.
So how do we maximize this key no man's land in history where the future is being dictated? I mean, what should young people, but also just everybody out there, we have a great activist audience, what should people be doing right now? Because soon things are going to intensify, and we're going into this in a good position now because you and so many others fought for decades to educate people about true Americana ideas, true liberty ideas, true Renaissance ideas. But Lou Rockwell, what do we do now to maximize going into this great time of change, to like a judo move, take their assault on liberty, step out of the way, and watch them fly out the window?
Well, Alex, we need to emulate you. We need to emulate writers. Everybody should have a blog. Everybody should have a YouTube channel. If you're concerned, and of course, local people, let's take local people in Ohio are concerned about this horrific Soviet-style law that those state senators are proposing to have the social workers, the armed monster social workers of Child Protective Services, come in and try to tell parents what to do with their children and give them permission to homeschool. So there ought to be a blog about that. Somebody who actually knows the situation on the ground. You can do commentaries with YouTube. You can write. And first, you have to read. Now, this is, you know, not an instant thing. But of course, if you want people to listen to you, you have to gain knowledge.
Well, here's an example. And I did this years ago when I had time. If you actually start following the family court and covering CPS, just as a citizen on Access TV, you know, 18 years ago, they were committing so many crimes and not even putting the right name on fake paperwork and making stuff up. I would come in with citizen briefs and cover it. People would get their kids back that never would have. But it was so painful, I could only do it for a while because watching the evil judges and the CPS were clearly pervs. It was so upsetting that I'll be honest, I'm not afraid of physical confrontation and things, but being around the evil, I was actually a coward to be around the demonic, soft, weird pedophiles that are the CPS.
Well, you know, Alex, I mean, it's, you know, it's tough to approach Mordor, right? It's tough to actually see that stuff. So that's why we need, you know, many, many people involved. We can't just leave it up to a few. So we all need to be involved. We all need to learn about local crimes. You may not be able to follow what's going on in Washington, but in your own town, there are horrors going on. There are despicable things going on. You can have a blog about it.
So in closing, how do we have a fundamental revolution of ideas against them, and how do we bring them to justice and build a better world based on individualism and free choice and communication and real community, not communism?
Well, Alex, just like the market is composed of, you know, billions of transactions and millions of people cooperating together, so is the liberty movement. And there are many things people can do that may not occur immediately as great steps for liberty, but they are. For example, most of us have teenagers or younger children in our families that we need Christmas presents for. Well, how about giving them the Suzanne Collins' The Hunger Game trilogy? This is a great, beautifully written, three-volume book, very libertarian, inspiring for kids to read, but adults too, by the way. Or give people a copy of Henry Hazlitt's Economics in One Lesson or Murray Rothbard's For a New Liberty. There are all kinds of great books that you can give depending on the person's age and educational level and so forth. So just, if you're a Johnny Appleseed of great literature for freedom this Christmas, boy, you've done something very, very good. And everybody, it's the division of labor. Not all of us can go and sit in the CPS hearings, and not all of us can run a great radio network and so forth. We all have different things to do, but we all can do something. We have to do something. And if enough of us do something good for other people, something good for the cause of freedom, then we can win it.
Absolutely. Hollywood and the social engineers always have one archetypal Hercules defeating all the enemies while everyone cowers. But real history is made by little people doing little things that move mountains together. So if you just wake up one person, folks, a month, or if you just resist a tyranny or laugh at it or say no to it or don't cower to the system, or don't let these corrupt corporations push you around, or don't let them cheat you on a bill. Being active, getting into the animating contest, making it fun to be alive and awake, it will intensify your human spirit. We've just got to bring the human spirit back. Final comments, Lou Rockwell.
Well, Alex, that's exactly right. And we must never forget, no matter how dark things are, we have the truth on our side. These other people are the battlers for lies and for all other kinds of evil. We have the truth. So the truth will win out if we're worthy of it. So we should all seek to be worthy of the truth.
Well said. What are you planning to do in the new year in the fight for liberty?
Well, I want to do more to expand what the Mises Institute is doing. We're having, I think, a tremendous effect on young people, not only of college age, but younger. We're going to just keep reaching more and more of them, teaching them the truth about economics, about what the government is doing to them, about the Federal Reserve and all the other criminal gangs in Washington. And we're having great success with our website. We want to do more. We want to reach more people. And that's our determination.
Well, God bless you. We salute you going into the new year. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lou Rockwell.
Thank you, Alex.
Well, thanks so much for listening to the Lou Rockwell Show today. Take a look at all the podcasts. There have been hundreds of them. There's a link on the LRC front page. Thank you.